Okay, is the mic good? Is that, thank you. Okay, fine. So we're gonna continue on now with the malach of kosher. Kosher, we know, is the malach of tying. Matzah is the malach of untying. And today, we're really just gonna work on setting down the basic parameters of malachas kosher. There are a lot of just ABC halachas that we need to get down before we're able to get into the more sophisticated shilas that come up. So today is really just going to be a regular halacha style shir, no fancy lumdas, but in Mirtz Hashem after today's sugya, so we'll see how all future discussions are just going to hinge on the basic facts that we work out today. Fine. So if you go to the first blot in Perek Ve'iluk Sharim, on Kuf Yad Alef Amud Beis to Kuf Yad Beis Amud Alef, the Mishnayos and the Gemara here tell us that there are three basic levels of knots. Some knots are going to be usher midaraisa to tie, some are going to be usher midarabanan to tie, and some are going to be perfectly permissible. What are some examples of the three levels of knots? So starting with level one, the isur midaraisa, the first Mishnah on the Perek kicks off on Kuf Yad Alef Amud Beis by telling us that an example of the deraisa knots are the knots of the camel driver and the knots of the sailor. What are the camel driver knots? What are the sailor knots? So the Gemara there on Kuf Yad Alef Amud Beis with Rashi explains as follows. When it comes to the camel drivers, so it was apparently the practice to pierce the nose of the camel, and they would insert some type of a strap, which they tied into a ring. Now, why do they tie a ring through the nose of the camel? So that they can subsequently attach a leash to the camel. If you have a ring in its nose, so aside from, I guess, I mean, nowadays, that's the, some people like looking like that, but that'll be the day when they start doing that to camels for style purposes. But back in the day, the reason they did that was because no one would wear a ring in their nose, but in order to attach a leash to the camel. So that's this the practice that was done back in the day. And so therefore, says the Gemara, that act of tying the ring through the nose of the camel was a form of a kesher that was usher midaraisa. Moving over to the sailor knot, what's the sailor knot? So same basic idea, in the front of the boat, there was apparently some type of a hole, and they used to insert some type of reed, some other material, which they would tie into a ring. And the purpose of the ring on the ship was to dock the ship. You take a rope that's on the shore, you tie it to the ring, that's how you would dock the ship. Tying the ring in the boat was an example of a knot that was usher midaraisa. So those are the level one knots, examples of level one knots, which are usher midaraisa. Moving over to level two, what's an example of a level two knot, which is usher midarabanan? So the Gemara, the second Mishnah now on Kuf Yad Alef Amud Beis, with the accompanying Gemara there, tells us as follows, that going back to our camel driver, back to our sailor, we can find knots that were usher midarabanan. Starting with the camel driver, when you take the leash and you attach it to the ring, so they apparently needed to tie some type of a knot, and that knot which they produced was an Issur Derabanan knot. Tying the leash to the ring apparently was only Issur Derabanan. And similarly by the sailor, so when you tie the rope to that ring in the ship, they had this ring in the ship, and they would tie a rope to that ring, that act also involved producing a knot, which was only Issur Derabanan. So those are examples of the level two knots. And finally, what would be an example of a level three knot, which is Mutar L'Chadchila. So the second Mishnah on Kuf Yad Alef Amud Beis tells us a whole list of examples, but just to mention the first example on the list, it tells us that ladies used to have some type of a garment which had straps on one side, and the way they would close it was by attaching the straps to the other side and tying some type of a knot. That knot was perfectly permissible to tie. So that would be a level three knot. So that's the first daf here in Perek Ve'iluk Sharim, teaching us about these three levels of knots, knots that are deraisa, knots that are derabanan, knots that are permissible. And the big question becomes how to determine what level any given knot is going to fit under. What are the rules that are going to govern whether or not it's going to fit into any of these three given levels? So that's the goal for today. So there are two major approaches in Rishonim for how to understand this issue. The first approach is the approach of the Rif and the Rambam. The second approach is the approach of Rashi and the Rush. And this is all going to be brought down straight into the halacha lemaisa. So everything we're saying now is not redundant. It's all going to be nogea lahalacha. So let's start with the shita of the Rif and the Ramba. the Rif and the Rambam say like this, that there are going to be two factors that are going to go into determining the status of a knot, how to classify which levels a knot is going to fit under. So the two factors are like this. Factor number one is going to be whether it's a permanent knot, whether it's a kesher shel kayama, whether it's an impermanent knot, whether it's not a kesher shel kayama. So that is factor number one. Are we dealing with a permanent knot, or are we not dealing with a permanent knot? Fine. Factor number two is going to be the professional quality of the knot. Is it a professional knot, what we call a maisa uman, or was it an amateur knot, a maisa hedyu? So these are the two factors that we care about in the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam. The first factor is the duration of the knot. Is it a permanent knot or impermanent? And the second factor is the professional quality of the knot. Is it a maisa uman, a professional knot, or a maisa hedyu, an amateur knot? So the way it works is like this. When both factors, l'chumra, are present, when it's both a permanent knot, it's a kesher shel kayama, and it's also a maisa uman, it's a professional knot, then it's going to be aser midaraisa. So that is level one. The level one knot applies when we have both factors present. When one factor is present without the other, let's say we have factor number one, it's a permanent knot, but we don't have the second factor. Or let's say we have the second factor, it's a professional knot, but we don't have the first factor. If we have one factor without the other, it is aser midarabana. So the level two knot is, once again, when we have one factor without the other. And finally, the level three knot is when we have no factors. If it's not a permanent knot, and if it's not a professional knot, rather it's an amateur knot that's not permanent is going to be perfectly permissible. So that is approach number one, the Shita of the Rif and the Rambam, that we care about these two factors, the duration of the knot, how is it a permanent knot or impermanent, and the professional quality of the knot. Both factors are deraisa, one is derabanan, neither are permissible. Fine. Moving over to the Shita of Rashi and the Rush. Rashi and the Rush argue on the Rambam and the Rif, and they are of the opinion that all we care about is one factor. All we care about is the duration of the knot. We don't care about the professional quality of the knot. That's not relevant at all. All we care about is the time frame. How long is the knot meant to last for? And there are three different periods of time that you can tie a knot for, which will govern whether it's going to be level one, level two, or level three. On the one hand, if you tie a knot to remain in place on a permanent basis, it's a kesher shel kayama, so then that's going to be a level one knot. That's aser midaraisa. When you have a permanent period of time, it's tied on a permanent basis, that by itself makes it aser deraisa. We don't care about the professional quality. We just care about the time frame. On the other hand, if we have a knot that's tied for an intermediate period of time, that's going to be aser midarabana. Now, what an intermediate period of time is, we're going to discuss. But for now, the rule is if it's for an intermediate period of time, that's going to be aser midarabanan. And finally, if it's for a short period of time, it's going to be mutter lechadchila. So level three, it's mutter lechadchila when it's done for a short period of time. So that was Shita number two, Rashi and the Rush. All we care about is the time frame. And with that, we have our two basic Shitas now in today's sugya. How do we determine what level a knot's going to fit into? Rambam, the Rif say we care about two factors, whether it's a permanent knot or impermanent. And factor two is whether it's a professional knot or a amateur knot. And according to Rashi and the Rush, we care about one factor. All we care about is the time frame, the duration, but there are three different periods of time. There's a permanent knot, intermediate period, and the short period of time. Okay. Yeah, Dov. Dov is asking, does the Gemara talk about Ma'isa Uman at all? So the Gemara never once officially, except for a quick reference in Kofi Yaveza Manal, it doesn't officially mention the word Ma'isa Uman really. But the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Parak starts off, the Eluk Sharam, these are the knots that you're chayav for, the knot of a sailor, the knot of a camel driver, the knot of a sailor. So the Rambam and the Rif took that to mean, you need a professional knot. What's the knot of a sailor? What's the knot of a camel driver? These are professional knots. So the word Ma'isa Uman doesn't officially come up, but that's how the Rambam and the Rif interpreted the first Mishnah. It's a good question though. Fine. Now there are three nafkaminas between these two approaches in the Rishonim. You have to hold cup a little bit, but we'll chazer over the three nafkaminas when we get to the halach lamaisa. This is all going to come down halacha. So let's just go through the three nafkaminas and then we'll see how this plays out halach lamaisa. Nafka mina number one is like this. Let's say you have a knot, which is an amateur knot, not a ma'ase uman, but it's done on a permanent basis. You tie a permanent knot in an amateur manner. So what is the status of that knot? Starting with the shita of the Rambam, the Rif say we care about two factors. We care about the permanence. We care about the professional quality. Well, in this case, you have factor one, so it's a permanent knot, but you're lacking in factor number two, which it's an amateur knot. So this is going to be asur midirabanan. An amateur knot on a permanent basis is asur midirabanan, according to the Rambam. Moving over to the shita of Rashi. So Rashi is of the opinion, all we care about is one factor. We care about the duration of time. And if it's a permanent knot, it is asur midaraisa. So even though it's an amateur knot, if you tie an amateur knot, it doesn't matter. If it's on a permanent basis, it is asur midaraisa. So that is nafkami number one. An amateur knot on a permanent basis, according to the Rambam, is asur midarabanan. According to Rashi, is asur midaraisa. Fine. Nafkamina number two. Our second nafkamina is like this. Let's say you have now, again, an amateur knot, but this ma'ase hediot is tied for an intermediate period of time. So what's the halacha with a ma'ase hediot for an intermediate period of time? So starting with the shita of the Rambam, this is a hot issue. What would the Rambam say in this situation, an intermediate period of time with an amateur knot? Anyone have an opinion? What would the Rambam say in this situation? Daniel?
Oh, I would say it's derabanan, because intermediate is not permanent nor non-permanent.
But if you have neither factor, you should be mutter.
Okay, fine.
Not
being permanent is impermanent.
Okay, good. So many achronim understand, just to point out that this question I'm posing right now is going to be nogeya tremendously for the Sfardim. We're going to see this farmer get a paskin like this Rambam. So the answer to this question has tremendous ramifications for Sephardi Psak Halacha. So a very straightforward way of analyzing this issue, which many Achronim assume, is that in this situation, it'll be Mutter L'Chadchila according to the Rambam. Because you can argue you have neither of the two factors. Factor one was, is it a permanent knot or is it impermanent? When it's for an intermediate period of time, it is an impermanent knot. And so we can argue that we're lacking in factor number one. And factor two of an amateur, not a professional. So the case was an amateur knot. We're lacking in factor two. And so the many achronim understand that according to the Rambam, this would be mutter lechadchila. So that is the shita of the Rambam. Moving over to the shita of Rashi and the Rush. So they're saying that all we care about is one factor, the duration of time. And if it's an intermediate period of time, it is asur midirabanan. So an amateur knot for an intermediate period of time is the Rabbanan in Rashi, is Mutr L'Chadchila, according to many Achronim, in the Ramba. So that is Nafkamina number two. Finally, let's come to Nafkamina number three. And that this is as follows. Let's say we now have a permanent knot, a Ma'ase Uman, for a short period of time. So we now have a professional knot. Sorry, Ma'ase Uman, again. Just to rephrase Nafkamina three, I just said an oxymoron there. A professional knot for a short period of time, a ma'ase uman for a short period of time. What is the halacha in that situation? So starting with the shita of the Rambam, so the Rambam cares about two factors. In this situation, it's a short period of time, so we're lacking factor one, but it's a professional knot, so we have factor two, it will be asur midirabanan. So a ma'ase uman for a short period of time is asur midirabanan, according to the Rambam. Whereas moving over to the shita of Rashi and the Rush, all they care about is the duration of time. And if it's a short period of time, it is mutter lechadchila. So even though it's a ma'ase uman, but if it's a short period of time, it is mutter lechadchila. So that is nafkamina number three. So with that, we've concluded the basic facts really in this sugya. We're just kicking off malachas kosher, the real facts of kosher, the basic parameters here. We have three levels of knots. Some knots are deraisa, some are derabanan, some are mutter lechadchila. Two approaches in the Rishonim, how to determine what level it's going to fall under. The Rambam and the Rif are saying it's a function of two factors, whether it's permanent and whether it's a professional or not. We have two, you know, if you have both, you have one, you have neither. Those are the three levels. Rashi and the Rush care about one factor, the duration of time. There are three periods of time. And we just discussed three nafkaminas in these two approaches. Daniel.
Just a reminder, the paradigm in the Mishkan was the nets for Chilazon, is that correct?
So Pashtus. There's a little bit of controversy. There's a shock of Atari in the Gemara, but the Pashtus is that's the Maskanas of Gemara.
Okay, so the implication would be, therefore, that the requirement of this professional knot would just be to fit the paradigm, right? It's nothing to do with the...
Correct. Since the Mishkan, correct. The Pashtus, since the Mishkan, they tie these professional knots to trap the chilazon, so therefore, that characterizes the Malacha. That would be the simple derivation. Okay, fine. So now, for the remainder of today's shiur, we're just going to go through the Halacha L'maisa. And then in the next week or so, we're going to get into more sophisticated shilas, where obviously you can appreciate that the real, you know, sophisticated kosher shilas, you need to just know the ABC rules of what's the raisa, what's the rabban, what's mutter, to maneuver the fancy shilas that come up. Right. So halach l'maisa, how do we paskin in this machlokas Rambam versus Rashi? So we have here a classic machlokas between the Sephardim versus the Ashkenazim. There's machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Rama on this issue, which is going to flow into a machlokas Sephardim and Ashkenazim. The usual rule of thumb is that Sephardim are more makel than Ashkenazim. That's just how it works, except for Elul, when you guys get killed with slichos for a month. But other than Elul, you guys get shorter haftorahs and you get a lot more kulos. Okay, fine. So with that in mind, it goes like this. Starting with the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Aleph, paskins straight away like the Rambam and the Rif. He brings down the Rambam and the Rif. That we care about the two factors. If it's a Kesher Shel Kayama and a Maisa Uman, it's the Raisa. One factor is the Rabbanan. Neither factor is permissible. So that is the Shulchan Aruch's Psak, straight like the Rif and the Rambam. And Rav Avadia says in Chazon Avadia that that's how we, the Sephardim Paskin, that the Sephardim, we being Rav Avadia's we, that's how the Sephardim Paskin, like the Rif and the Rambam. Now, I don't want to take achrayas for the Sephardim Psak Halacha. He does have a little bit of a twist in the Sephardi Psak Halacha based on that Nafkamina I alluded to before. Rav Avadia has a little bit of a twist on the second Nafkamina, so he's a little bit more machmir than the straight Rif and Rambam. But in a general sense, Rav Avadia says that the Sephardim are going to paskin like the Rif and the Rambam because after the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Fine. Moving over to the Ashkenazim. So the Rama brings down both opinions. He brings down both the opinion of Rashi and he brings down the opinion of the Rambam. And so the accepted Ashkenazi Psak Halacha is to adopt the chumras of both approaches. The Ashkenazim take the chumras of Rashi and they take the chumras of the Rambam. So what that means, halacha l'maisa, for the Ashkenazim is as follows, that there are two basic rules at the end of the day that are going to govern when it is prohibited to tie a knot on Shabbos. There are two basic rules that are going to govern the permissibility and the prohibition of tying knots on Shabbos. Rule number one is that it is never permissible to tie a knot for anything longer than a short period of time. Now, again, we haven't yet defined these different periods of short, intermediate, and permanent, but rule number one, just to say the rule first, is that it is never permissible to tie anything longer than a short period of time. You can't tie it for a permanent period of time, and you can't even tie it for an intermediate period of time. Why not? Because of the chumras of Rashi and the Rush. We'll take the chumras of Rashi and the Rush. Now, Rashi and the Rush hold that a permanent period of time is also midaraisa. So Ashkenazim are going to say you can never tie a knot for a permanent period of time because we're going to be concerned for an iser deraisa. Anything tied for a permanent period of time is possibly also midaraisa. So that is certainly off limits. And even if it's for an intermediate period of time, so again, that's also midarabanan according to Rashi and the Rush. So you can never tie a knot for longer than a short period of time, because if it's permanent, we'll be choshish for a deraisa, and if it's intermediate, we're still choshish for a derabanan. So that is rule number one. It has to be a short period of time. Rule number two is that it cannot be a professional knot. You can't tie a maisa uman, you can only tie a maisa hediot. Why can't you tie a professional knot for a short period of time? Because of the chumra of the Rambam now. The Rambam shita was that if you have either factor, if you have just the Maisa Uman or his other factor, either way, it's going to be also midarabanan. So if you tie a Maisa Uman for a short period of time, you've now violated the shita of Rambam that is also midarabanan according to the Rambam. So Ashkenazim cannot do that either. So rule number one, it can never be longer than a short period of time. And rule number two, it cannot be a professional knot. It has to be an amateur knot. So the bottom line is, can you ever tie a knot on Shabbos? Only if it's an amateur knot for a short period of time. what would be an example of an amateur knot for a short period of time. So we're going to discuss this more in depth next week when we get to the Shailas. But for now, just off the cuff, tying your shoelaces on Shabbos, we're going to see next week is going to be an amateur knot. The typical way that a person ties his shoelaces would be an amateur knot. And so if you tie your shoelaces for less than for a short period of time, we'll have to see what that is. So that would be a typical example of a form of tying that's going to be permissible. So again, we're going to go through, you know, the real shilas next week, but just off the cuff, you know, these categories are going to be important. So that's the bottom line halacha l'maisa for the Ashkenazim. Any questions? We good? Fine. So now let's just do a little more clarification here of these two rules of the Ashkenazim. So let's go through the two rules and just clarify now these different ambiguities behind these principles. So rule number one for the Ashkenazim is you can never tie a knot for anything longer than a short period of time. A permanent period of time is possibly the Raisa. Intermediate is the Rabbanan. It has to be a short period of time. So what exactly is a permanent period of time? What's an intermediate period of time? What's a short period of time? So that's the first issue we need to clarify. So starting with a permanent period of time, when do we have a potential Isser Deraisa? If you're an Ashkenazi and you're tying something, so what's called a permanent period of time, which is going to be potentially Isser Mideraisa? So the first Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Yud Zayin brings down two opinions. One opinion is that it means forever, that when we talk about a permanent knot being Isser Mideraisa, that means forever, you're tying a knot to remain in place forever. And the second opinion is that it means Zman Arach, a long time, that it could be, if it's a long time, that's also going to be Midaraisa. What's a long time? So he doesn't tell us, but it seems to be like half a year or a year, some very long period of time is going to be potentially Aser Midaraisa. So we're clarifying now, what do we mean when we say it can't be for a long period of time? What's a long period of time? Either it means forever, or it means Zman Arach, a long time. Now, I'm just going to point out that this first issue is relevant to Halacha L'maisa. With regards to a shaila, it's going to come up next week. So I'm just going to, you know, reference it. We're not going to go through the shaila. Next week, we're going to see that there's a major issue that the poskim had to deal with concerning how to perform galila on Shabbos. You know, back in the day before Velcro was invented, so you typically perform galila by tying the gartel around the Sefer Torah. And there was a major kosher issue that all the major poskim had to address, how to do galila in a proper manner. Now, Rav Nissim Kaplan points out that the shaila of galila by a Sefer Torah is a real serious shaila, but it's not the biggest, you know, we're going to be able to be makel, you know, somewhat. We can adapt more makel dika opinions as we maneuver the shaila, because it's the shaila of a derabbanan. Typically speaking, when you tie a knot at the galila, so it's not going to be in place for a long, permanent period of time for months on end. It's typically going to be in place for a few days, maybe a week, something like that, which is going to be an issue of a derabbanan. So that's a shayla of a derabbanan, which we could always be more makel on a shayla of a derabbanan. But Rav Nissim Kaplan says that there's a corollary issue, which is much more severe, and that is tying the gartel on neviim. There are a lot of bati knesios, yeshivos, that are makbid. They're very meticulous about reading the Haftorah from a klaf. And after you read the Haftorah from the top klaf, so the Navi has a gartel. And again, before the days of Velcro, if you had to tie the gartel around the Navi, so now we're discussing tying gartel around the Navi that can remain in place for a very long period of time. If you know, certain Haftorahs, certain Navi'im are only read on a very infrequent basis. And we could be talking about tying something that could last for half a year or even an entire year. So as Kaplan points out, that based on this Magen Avraham, we have a much more severe shaila when it comes to the Nevi'im, because we're talking about a possible deraisa. If we say a permanent period of time, doesn't mean forever. It means it's man arach, then a shaila of tying the glila, tying the gartel on the Navi is going to be a shaila of a deraisa, which is much more severe. So I'm just pointing out how these issues that we're setting up are going to have major ramifications next week. Fine. So that's in terms of a permanent period of time. Yeah.
I'm just curious, based on these two definitions, whether with a professional knot or permanent knot, how would this fit with our conversations last week with the twist tie? Twist tie is not a knot. It's not a professional knot.
Okay. So Daniel is asking, let's say in the Rambam Shita, the Rambam says you need to have you know what? Okay. Let me just say his question and then we're going to address it. But Daniel is asking, we said that according to the Rambam, this week we're saying you need to have a professional knot. Well, last week we were discussing using twist ties or twining ropes, which we saw was a problem according to the Rambam. Is that really going to be called a professional knot? Are you making a professional knot when you tie a twist tie? So that's Daniel's question. So Mirta Shem, in a few moments, we're going to get to defining what a Maisa Uman is, and then we'll have to reassess Daniel's question. So we'll get there in a few moments, Mirta Shem. But okay, so fine. So moving over to an intermediate period of time. So what is an intermediate period of time where there's an Issa Derabanan? The Ramah says 2 days. He brings 2 days down. In Shinya Zayin Sif Aleph, 2 days. Whether an intermediate period of time is 7 days or whether it is 1 day. One opinion is that it has to be in place for at least 7 days for the Issa Derabanan to kick in. Anything less than 7 days is perfectly permissible. And the second daya in the Ramah is that it's 24 hours, that until 24 hours is permissible. And after 24 hours, it's already called an intermediate period of time where the Issa Derabanan kicks in. So 2 days in the Ramah, what's called an intermediate period of time? And as you would expect, the basic consensus of poskim is that under general circumstances, we're machmir for the opinion of 1 day, that a knot can never be tied for more than 24 hours. But the Bir Lacha says under extenuating circumstances, so we can rely on the 7 day opinion, that under extenuating circumstances, we can allow for a knot to be tied up till 7 days because of the other opinion in the Ramah. So that was all clarifying rule number one. The rule number one for the Ashkenazim was that you can never tie a knot more than a short period of time. We're just trying to figure out what are these time frames? What's a permanent period of time? What's intermediate? What's short? A permanent period of time either means forever or a long time. That's when we have the Raisa issues. An intermediate period of time means anything beyond 7 days or beyond 1 day. That's when the Issa Derabanan kicks in. Anything beyond 7 days or 1 day. And the heter, so what's a short period of time? Halach lamais, a short period of time typically means less than 1 day. That anything less than 1 day would satisfy rule number one. Fine. Moving over now to rule number two. So rule number two that comes out of the Ramah is that you cannot ever tie a maisa uman. That is never permissible, even for a short period of time, to tie a professional knot. And the question now becomes, what is the definition of a professional knot? It's only mutter to tie an amateur knot now for less than a day, but a professional knot can never be tied. What is a professional knot? So there's a shilti Giborim who has a tremendous chumrah, which is brought down l'halacha, and it's going to really knock out most knots from being allowed to be tied on Shabbos. The shilti Giborim says that he thinks, based on the riff, that any tight knot is potentially a professional knot. Anytime you tie a tight knot, that is considered to be a maisa uman, which is usur to be tied. And so therefore, says Shilti Giborim as follows. Now let's say you have two strings and you're gonna tie them together. Imagine like you have shoelaces and you're taking the two laces and you're tying them together. So if you cross them over one time, like the first stage in tying your shoes, and then let's say you cross them over a second time and you form what we would call a knot, that is already considered to be a maisa uman. As soon as you take the two laces and you cross it over one time, and then let's say instead of making that bow, you just cross it over a second time, two crossovers is already creating a knot, which is a tight knot, which is a maisa uman. So what is that? Yeah, so the term knot is a very confusing term. When you take two laces and you cross it one time, if you call that one knot, then crossing it over a second time will be a double knot. In my terminology, before I learned kosher, I got very confused because I called the first time you cross your shoes, I wouldn't call that a knot, and then you cross it a second time, you call that a knot. But the poskim all call that a double knot. They use the term double knot, that when you cross the laces one time, that's called one kesher. You cross it a second time, that's a double knot, which we would call a single knot, but whatever, that is prohibited. So that is the big time chumra of the shilte hegeborim, that doing two crossovers is a maisa uman and is prohibited. Now the Ramah brings down the Shilta Giborim, brings down this Chumrah, and he takes the Chumrah a step further. Says the Ramah, that's all when we're talking about two strings. When you cross over two strings, when you're tying two strings together, a double crossover is prohibited. But let's say you have one string and you cross it on itself. If you can picture just making what we call a knot on a single string, just crossing it through and pulling it over and making a knot, which is a single crossover, even a single crossover is prohibited. With a single string, with one string, if you're tying it on itself, and what you're making what we call a knot, you're knotting it on itself, even though it was only one crossover, that's a tight knot, that is prohibited. So this is all now clarifying rule number two. Rule number two is, what is the definition of Maisa Uman? So the Ramal brings down the tremendous Chumrah from the Shilta Giborim that any tight knot is considered to be Maisa Uman, which means that if you have two strings being tied together, once you cross over two times, it is a Maisa Uman and it cannot be tied even for a short period of time. And on a single string, if you knot it on itself, even one time, one crossover, it is a Maisa Uman, which cannot be tied. So because of these Chumras, we're going to see that it's, you know, it's very hard now to find a permissible knot to be tied. As I say, tying shoelaces is going to end up being permissible. That's going to be one of the rare examples of a non-Maisa Uman of an amateur knot. But because of this Chumrah of the Shulta Gemurim, so end up being very machmir on Shabbos with Malachas Kosher. Daniel.
I know you had mentioned that according to the Shulta Gemurim, or at least I think it was the Ramah, you mentioned that a Maisa Uman is always a problem, irrespective of its permanence. But in what rational world can you consider tying, less according to the Ramah, tying something once? It's not even a knot. It's going to cut them apart. It's not anything.
Oh, okay, so careful.
How does that fit in any kind of simple context?
Okay, so are you asking if I take two laces and I tie it one time, it's not going to hold? Is that what you're asking?
That's I'm asking, but I'm asking that specifically on this Chumrah the Ramah you just added, that if I take one string on itself, a shoelace, which would be our example, right, and tie that one time on itself, that's not holding.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can picture with tzitzis, let's say, sometimes people tie the tzitzis, they don't want to fray, so they tie the tzitzis on itself, they make a knot at the end of the tzitzis. You take the string of tzitzis and you cross it once and you tie it. It makes a knot. I'm saying if you tie a single knot on itself.
Oh, you're talking like that. I thought you were giving an example, like, let's say on a shoelace, if you just cross it and pull it once.
No. If you have two strings, if you have two laces and you cross them once, that's not going to be a problem. That's perfectly permissible, like a garbage bag, LaMarshall. If you take a garbage bag and you cross it one time, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly permissible. Once you do a second crossover, so that's where you can run into problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Gemara goes out of its way, so it quotes a very specific type of knot as being tied by Uman.
Okay, Dov is asking, like, where does Shilta Gemurim come out with this tremendous Chumar from the Gemara? The Gemara just talks about really high-level professional knots, a sailor knot, a camel driver knot. How did he come up with this? It's totally fair points. Some use the term Einanu Bekiyam. It's one of those annoying issues in Halacha where we couldn't figure out the line of demarcation. When's it called professional? When's it not called professional? So we end up just being machmer on any tight knot. Anytime it's tight, we have to be choshish now that it is a professional knot. Okay, so Dov is asking, Dov happens to be asking a phenomenal question. I just want to repeat Dov's question. Dov is asking that if the Shulta Gemurim is correct, why the first mission of the Perek have to come up with these super sophisticated knots, which have really cool pictures in Reverbia, when you just have talk about an ABC simple double knot for a Ma'achi of Deraiso. It's a tremendous question Dov is asking. It's a very good question. I don't have a good answer to that question, but that is Dov's kasha. That's a phenomenal kasha. Excellent. Fine. So now that we have the rules, let's just quickly end off with two shaylas just to finish off today's shiur. And then Emir Tzishim, next week, we'll get into the more sophisticated issues that come up. Okay. So shaila number one. So now that we have the rules for the Ashkenazim, rule number one, it has to be a short period of time. Rule number two, it has to be an amateur knot. So let's just discuss two quick shailas that come up. Shaila number one. Let's say it is the winter and you're wearing a scarf and it is, aside from being freezing outside, is also extremely windy. So the scarf is just blowing right off your neck. So you take the scarf, you wrap it around your neck and you do one crossover and it's still not holding. So you want to do a second crossover. So you want to take a scarf, wrap it around your neck and do two crossovers. You're crossing over once, crossing over a second time. Is that permissible? Is that prohibited? So that's the shaila that comes up. Anyone want to give a psak halacha on this issue? Yonah.
I mean, I would think that in any case, it's not, no matter what, it's not going
to be tight. Excellent, excellent. Okay, 100%. So Yonah was just mechaven to Shmuel Kamenetsky. So let's just go through the cheshbon. So let's just use this as a good example of getting used to applying the two rules halacha l'maisa. So rule one is, it always has to be a short period of time, which typically means less than 24 hours. So when you tie a scarf, is it for less than 24 hours? It is for less than 24 hours. I hope so. Otherwise, it's not going to be a very comfortable Friday night nap that you're taking. So we have rule number one. It is you're tying a scarf for less than 24 hours. Rule number two, is this a Maisa Uman? Is this not a Maisa Uman? So Yona was just Mechavin to Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky says like this. He says that what was the whole explanation of the Shilti HaGiburim for a Maisa Uman? His definition was a tight knot. That typically speaking, when you take two strings, two laces, and you cross them once, you cross them a second time, you're going to have a tight knot. That's what defines a Maisa Uman. Says of Shmuel, that's all fine and well when you have a thin string. When you have a thin string, you know, two thin strings, and you cross them over one time and a second time, then you have a tight knot. But if you have a thick piece of material like a scarf and you tie it twice, even though you technically created what we might call a knot, it's going to be a very loose knot. It's not a tight knot. He thinks it's permissible. He leaves off with a little bit of a tzarech in, but he says he thinks that it should be permissible. So tying a scarf, for example, two times he thinks should be permissible. Just to give two other examples that he gives, he says, let's say you have a raincoat. And again, you have that thick belt on your Shabbos raincoat and you want to wrap it around your waist, tie it one time, tie it a second time. Since it's a thick rope, it's a thick material. And again, it's less than 24 hours. So it's not. You have rule number one. Rule number two, is it a professional or not? Since it's a thick material, he thinks that should be permissible. And he says the same thing also by a gartel, that a davening gartel, if somebody has on Shabbos. So once again, he thinks that that would fit into this category. And he brings down the halacha that wearing a gartel would be perfectly permissible. So that's all Shaila number one, just to help get used to these two categories. Rishmuel thinks it really should be permissible to use a scarf, to double knot a scarf or some thick material like a scarf or a raincoat belt, because that would not be a Maisa Uman. It's not a tight knot. You have questions? Yeah.
Any knot regardless of its complexity?
Okay, so Ben is asking, according to the Shilta Geburim, is any knot regardless of its complexity permissible as long as it's not tight? Can you give me an example? Is it, Ben is saying, what if you have a secure knot that's not jam tight? I guess we'll have to get more specific. Maybe we'll bring it up next week. I just, it's hard on the spot for me to envision it. I just need to.
What about a slip knot?
Dov is asking, what about a slip knot? Slip knots are permissible. They're mutter.
Right. If you don't pull from the other string, it's a tight knot.
Okay, fine. So Mirtz Hashem next week, just to give a plug for next week, come back next week. Next week, we're going to go through different types of knots, and we're going to go through interesting shilas that come up in the postgame. So these, next week, we're going to get more precise and different forms of knots. So these are all good questions in Mirtz Hashem next week. But for now, we're really just setting on the principles. I wanted to give one or two examples just to get used to the principles. Fine. Let's just discuss one last shila that comes up, and then we'll conclude with this. The following shaila comes up is like this. Let's say a person ties his shoes on Shabbos. Now, again, next week we're going to see that shoe tying, if it's done right, will be permissible. The typical knot you tie in your shoes, so to speak, the typical maneuvers that you do with the shoelaces is considered to be an amateur knot, which would be mutter less than 24 hours. Let's say a person slips and what was supposed to be his nice two bunny ears turned into a knot. Meaning let's say the loops didn't hold and it got tangled up. And now you have what we call a knot, meaning one crossover and then another crossover, two crossovers of the laces. Let's say that happened by accident, not on purpose. Or it could be you had a proper, bows on your shoe, but you stepped on the lace and it went through and it created a knot somehow. You pulled out the knot somehow. So let's say you have you're wearing shoes and it was knotted due to some accident. The shaila becomes, can you undo that knot on Shabbos? So we have a double crossover knot on your shoes now, meaning one crossover, then another crossover. Can you undo that on Shabbos? So this is a shaila of Malachas Matir, now Matir being untying, but it goes hand in hand with Malachas Kosher. The rule is that Matir has the same rules of Kosher, that a level one knot that you can't make Midaraisa can't be untied Midaraisa for Matir. A level two knot you can't make Midarabanan can't be untied Midarabanan. Level three is perfectly permissible. So the question is this not subject to any isurim such that you would not be able to untie it, or is it permissible? That's the question. Yeah.
I feel like no matter what the intention is to undo it within a short period of time, would that play into it at all?
Okay, so Yonah's being machab into the analysis, so just because of time, let me just streamline it. In terms of rule number one, so again, rule number one is it has to be a short period of time. Any knot that's made for a long period of time cannot be tied or untied. So here we have actually a unique situation that needs analysis because there was no thought process that went into this. When this knot wasn't supposed to be created, it happened by itself. So on the one hand, he didn't think that it should be for a long period of time. He didn't think that it should be for a short period of time. I just got to finish because of time. He didn't think anything. So what do you do when you don't think? You know, is rule number one, do we call it a permanent knot, which you're stuck not untying? Or is it not called, is it an impermanent knot? Is it a short period of time knot? So the Mishnah Berurah brings the Chayei Adam, who is Mekel on this issue, that in terms of rule number one, if a knot was created by accident, then we can treat it as a knot that was made for a short period of time, which can be untied. In terms of rule number one, that you can never untie a knot that's an intermediate knot or a long period of time. If there's no das at all that went into the knot, it would happen by accident. We have satisfied rule number one, and that's not going to be an issue. The question now becomes, what about rule number two? Rule number two is that you can never make a professional knot. So you can't make or untie a professional knot. So when I have now these two crossovers on my laces, one crossover, then another crossover. So if this is considered to be a professional knot, then I cannot untie it. It's going to be very uncomfortable Shabbos if I did too good of a job tying my shoes, but I can't untie it if it's a professional knot. So is this considered to be a professional knot? According to the Shulchan Gevurim, it would be a professional knot, right? The Shulchan Gevurim had said that two crossovers on your thin strings, like your laces, is a professional knot, which cannot be untied. That's what should come out. It should come out, you cannot untie it, because although you've satisfied rule number one, we'll call this a short period of time, because there was no das at all. But rule number two, this should be called a professional knot. That's what should come out. However, says the Chazon Ish, the Shulchan Gevurim is a big time chumrah. As Dov was saying, the whole shita of the Shulchan Gevurim is not well founded. It's a tremendous chumrah. And so in this situation, you can be makel. In this situation, where the double crossover was created inadvertently, and we want to get our shoes off, you can be makel and assume that, treat this as a non-maisa uma. But although typically speaking, if you make a tight, you know, knot, two crossovers, and you make a tight knot, we call that a maisa uman. In this situation where it happened by accident and the person needs to get his shoes off, we will permit untying it because it's really just a chumrah. So that's just to appreciate Dov's point that, yeah, it really is a chumrah, so it's having halachic ramifications. So with that, we've concluded today's shir. Just to summarize, we had our two basic approaches, how to define the three levels of knots. Rambam and the Rif had the two factors. Rashi had one factor. And we had three nafkaminas, and we went through the Sephardi psak is like the Rambam and the Rif. The Ashkenazi psak, we take the chumras of both shittos. So there are two rules. It has to be a short period of time. It has to be an amateur knot. And we clarified the different time frames. A permanent knot for Ashkenazim is either a long time or forever. Intermediate is one day or 7 days. And in terms of emaisa uman, a tight knot. So the bottom line is it's got to be less than 24 hours. It cannot be a tight knot. And we have two examples where just to help maneuver the rules that if it's a scarf, we said it might be permissible, and untying your shoelaces if it gets tangled would be permissible as well. Okay, Shkayach, have a wonderful Shabbos. Oh yeah, okay. So we'll hack that out afterwards. Excellent. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
How is the extended tied shoelace different than tangled?